And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
We are not
good. What?
We are not good, Chef.
No?
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Put in another corner!
Why the f*** do I watch this team?
One of the local writers, Adam Hoagie, or Hog, excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hoag.
Hey, George.
Hi, Adam.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Adam Johns, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Coach Ditka versus the Hurricane, who would win?
Ditka, Ditka.
Hold on. The name of the Hurricane is Hurricane Ditka.
Here they are, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns back with you. And well, some things changed. Jalen Johnson locked up long term since we last talked to you earlier in the week. What's going on, everyone? Got a big episode for you today. And Diana Rossini is going to be here to dish all the information she's been getting on the Bears, Justin Fields, free agency, all that kind of stuff. And we're also going to obviously talk about this Jalen Johnson contract, which is a big one, Johnson.
I was wrong. You know, my natural reaction to the franchise tags being used is this is going to be like a longer process. I think we talked about this going all the way up to July, but something happened. Maybe Jalen Johnson got what he wanted a couple days after the tag was used by the Bears. But like, wow, like I was wrong. I thought this was going to go a long ways. Something obviously changed in the, 48 hours? Since we last talked, but Good for the Bears. Great for Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns. Of course, the show account at Hogan Johns as well, and you can read all the coverage of this and everything else in The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns as well. This always felt a little different. What we talked about the other day was more how these things typically go. I mean, it comes down to deadlines, and now the next deadline wasn't going to be until July. So that's usually why these things quiet down and why we talked about, well, now you move on to the next thing, which is not Jalen Johnson, which is, you know, maybe signing Christian Wilkins, maybe, you know, spending big money elsewhere. And maybe Jalen Johnson listened to this podcast and heard that, Johnsy, and was like, well, wait a minute.
Could happen.
Let me get mine first, because that we did say, as we talked about that the other day, that's kind of the downside if you're Jalen Johnson's side of letting this thing go to the tag, which is why it gives teams more leverage, and get my deal done, which by the way includes $28 million over the next 12 months. I would sign up for that.
Yeah,
and now he's at least in the books and set up before the Bears start spending money elsewhere.
So this is from SpotTrack. Jalen Johnson's four-year, $76 million extension with the Bears makes him the seventh highest average paid QB cornerback in football. His reported $54 million guaranteed ranks fourth, while his $43.8 million guaranteed at signing comes in second. His reported $60 million in three-year cash ranks second only to Jaire Alexander from the Green Bay Packers.
There you go. So
it's a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get top of the market, but
I don't think he was looking for that either.
No, I'm sure there was. I'm sure they asked for it at some point, but then you come back down. And it's a very good contract. He's being paid very, very well. And there's a lot of guarantees, especially if you look at how this contract is structured. I mean, he's getting a lot of money in these first 3 years with nothing totally guaranteed in year four and a chance to hit the market again by the time he's like what the age of L'Jarius Sneed is now.
29. Two thoughts on that. One, I think the Bears wanted some certainty. I know we discussed this in the last show, but I think having this done the way it's done now gives them some certainty in terms of how they could structure their next signings, maybe their next big splashes. Maybe they splurge a little bit this time in free agency, so it helps them kind of project, not just this year, but 2025, 2026, when you have that money that you talked about spread over those 3 years. My second thought on that is what's needed now is a rookie quarterback under contract.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where I was about to go here, because big contract on the D-line now with Montez Sweat. Big contract at the linebacker level with Tremaine Edmonds. Big contract in the secondary with Jalen Johnson.
Adding big contracts at tight end. Big contracts at receiver.
Right, but what I was going to say, specifically on defense, so they have a big contract at all three levels of the defense. I'm sure, and we're going to talk a little bit about Christian Wilkins with Diana Rossini coming up, but I'm sure Matt Eberflus would love to have a guy like that in his defense at that three technique position. But a fourth giant contract, which from the sounds of it would probably be the biggest of all of those big defensive contracts. Like, at some point you have to start spending money on offense at some point. And they have a little bit, like you just said, tight end, wide receiver, but you're going to have to start allocating more resources to your offense. Most teams probably wouldn't be able to then sign Christian Wilkins this week after completing this Jalen Johnson. I have no idea if Jalen Johnson was worried about that. Like, all of a sudden, maybe they're going to spend money on Christian Wilkins. Maybe this is going to make it tougher for me in a few months from now. But there is sort of a competition for the pieces of the salary cap pie within every team. But all of this becomes less of a problem if you reset your quarterback clock, which is probably what's happening here. So this is a spot where the Bears can look at it like a luxury because, hey, man, about to have Caleb Williams for 4 years on a rookie deal.
It's a team-building window that teams around the league have they consider just very appealing, especially if that young quarterback hits and he's good and he can lead you to some wins. Like, this is a window that teams try to take advantage of when they feel good about that young quarterback. And the Bears, this is the situation they're in. It really is. Like, right now, the Bears rank amongst the bottom of the league in offensive spending. I'm sure that could be used for criticism of what they've provided Justin Fields. But at the same time, the reason why they rank in that spending is because you have young players, draft picks playing, and a quarterback who doesn't have a second contract. It's just the facts there. But that's going to continue. It has to continue if you're going to invest elsewhere on the roster.
Well, look at these contracts they've been signing. 4 years, right? Okay, Jalen Johnson gets his 4-year deal. Cole Kmet got his 4-year deal. Well, Caleb Williams is going to be on a 4-year rookie deal. So when those 4 years are up, and hopefully that goes the way they all want it to go, where there's a time where he might become the highest paid quarterback in football, which we know Carl Williams wants. Well, now you're going to have that financial flexibility of all these other contracts that you're handing out now coming off the books. And those guys are going to be older. So it's what's being set up here, if you're not paying attention, and we're doing our best to try to communicate it to you, is exactly what NFL teams want to be in. In a crazy dream scenario, too, where you have the number one pick, access to the best quarterback, all this cap space,
and the number going nine pick.
And the rookie contract hasn't even started. Like, this is why, when if you're lucky enough to run into Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham in Indianapolis last week, they had smiles on their faces. Yes, they're in. Probably dealing with their own stress with this situation and trying to, you know, build this thing and get all these things done. I'm sure they're not sleeping a lot. There's a lot of executives around the league that are envious of the situation that Ryan Poles has right now.
No, absolutely.
And this is exactly why.
Two top 10 picks. He's looking at drafting Caleb Williams. I mean, this is with that much cap space, the Bears are entering a rare window of competitiveness right now. And then not only just what they hope on the field, but just like what they could do structurally with contracts and, you know, projections for the future. It's unique. It's a special window they're entering.
It's a legitimate reason to be excited if you're a Bears fan. And just another reason, as we kind of shift this towards Diana Rossini and our quarterback conversation coming up here, that, you know, even just picking up Justin Fields' fifth-year option and having that to deal with next year doesn't really align with the rest of this when it comes to spending and cap allocation and things like that. So it's just another reason to pay attention to what's going on here, okay? But good job by everybody involved in taking a situation where Jalen Johnson requested a trade a few months ago, and now he's locked up. Very good player, to his credit. Answered any remaining questions, except maybe one. Maybe the shoulder. You know, he did end the season with another shoulder injury, and I'm sure that factored into this contract situation too. Maybe why he didn't get top of market. But everybody's happy. He's locked up. The Bears have their number one corner, a very, very good player. They keep this defensive momentum rolling, and they still have plenty of flexibility going into next week with some other big additions possible. It's good.
I mean, if you're Ryan Pohl, is this as stressful as this can be, and as how many sleepless nights are being added to your month? It's got to be exciting. Gotta be.
I think they're pretty happy about all this. All right. Well, we saw her in Indy last week. She was all over the early returns of what the Justin Fields market was starting to shape up to be. Diana Rossini, who does just an outstanding job covering the league for The Athletic. We are fortunate to be joined by her on this podcast. Get all of her information dumped out here for you Bears fans as we head into next week. So let's bring her in, Diana Rossini. All right, well, as we inch closer and closer to Monday, when all these dominoes start to fall, hey, they might even start to align up a little bit better over the weekend. We're bringing in Diana Rossini, who's been absolutely killing it for The Athletic with all the news flying. She's been on top of things with Justin Fields and the Bears and Russell Wilson. In fact, just a few moments ago, she tweeted news about Russell Wilson this morning and an impending meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the next 24 hours. So we got a lot to talk to her about. Follow her on Twitter at DM Rossini. Diana, thanks for jumping back on with us.
Yeah, of course, guys. It's good to be here. My Twitter handle is very inviting with DM. Some people have asked me about that. Like, did I do that on purpose? It's because my middle name is Marie. But hey, DM, whatever you got. Send me some scoops. What do you guys got out there?
All right. So let's line up these dominoes. Let's call them dominoes. Is Russell Wilson, is he the first one? Or do you put Kirk Cousins in front of him? How would you line up these dominoes? And how do you see them falling, Diana?
Yeah. So Russell Wilson's going to be meeting with Mike Tomlin and the front office brass to just discuss what this could look like, get to know one another. I wouldn't describe Russell Wilson's market right now as being this overwhelmingly robust space. I know Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson have a good relationship. In fact, I've covered games where they've played each other and I've seen the interaction before. So there's obviously mutual respect there. But in terms of what they're trying to do in Pittsburgh, you know, Russell's cheap. So, you know, in terms of the rest of the quarterback market there, this may be something Pittsburgh wants to look into and just explore. It keeps being described to me as just exploratory for now. But we both know if you're bringing someone in, And if a meeting can go well, this could happen really quickly. And before you know, Russell Wilson is a Pittsburgh Steeler. But for right now, they're just sort of having these conversations, these early talks about what this could possibly look like if he were to take his talent to the Steel City. Now, that being said, right, all eyes in terms of behind the scenes in the NFL are on Kirk Cousins. He's the most valuable free agent available, or free agent quarterback here, with an opportunity to move out of Minnesota. And it seems and it appears that all signs point to a chance of playing with the Atlanta Falcons. So The last I checked in with both sides of this, it seemed that Minnesota feels they're still in this, and the Falcons are sitting waiting for that tampering period to open up so they can offer a deal that could perhaps force Kirk Cousins to get up and move out of Minnesota and go to Atlanta, where they really feel like they've got a great roster right now set up for him to just plug and play, really step in there and play the quarterback position at a high level with those weapons, with that defense, with the play caller in Zach Robinson, who's very familiar with that Sean McVay offense that Kirk Cousins knows really well through the years, obviously in Washington and with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So, Raheem Morris, the head coach, knows Kirk Cousins very well too. So that seems like a place, like a landing place for Kirk. And then, of course, there's some tentacles after that that we can get into too if you guys want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been, I think, a week now since you were first on top of the realization and reporting late last week that this market for Justin Fields is just maybe going a little bit slower than we all anticipated. And we're hearing it right there with you laying things out. If Pittsburgh's more interested in Russell Wilson right now and Atlanta's more interested in Kirk Cousins, those have long been rumored as like the two most obvious spots potentially for Justin Fields. It sort of leaves him without a home right now. So how do you see this playing out over the next week?
Right. So we'll see where Kirk goes. That's the first domino. So let's say Atlanta can't get him. Let's say, you know, it's a jump ball in Minnesota and Kirk decides to stay with the Vikings. I believe that the Falcons are then going to try to get Baker Mayfield, who's not signed up just yet with Tampa. I know they're trying to work towards something, but there's nothing done there. And it may be smart of, or for Baker's camp to wait here, because I do think the market will change. Let's say Kirk does go to Atlanta. Well, then Baker has an opportunity to go to Minnesota. So there's a lot of things at play here, which is why you're not seeing a very clean, open, robust market for Justin Fields, because most GMs have their eyes on those veteran quarterbacks who they obviously see as a better quarterback at this point. And I do think Justin will have a market. It's just going to be at a different time. It's just this first phase, I don't see a lot of business for him. The second phase, I do. And you have to wonder if maybe this may be a position, or he may be in a position or a situation where he's got to join a team as a backup. I don't see a team right now in the Justin Fields market in terms of making him the starter day one out of the gate. So that's really where things stand in terms of Fields and Chicago, as they are going to continue to work the phones here to try to get him moved. And maybe right now the timing just isn't the best for Chicago.
As you were gathering that information last week at the combine and even now, like, did that kind of surprise you at all? Maybe given some of the excitement that Justin Fields provided in Chicago, or what does that tell you about maybe what other teams, what the NFL really thinks of him as they evaluate their options at quarterback?
So full disclosure, I got on the plane to Indy last week with goal one, go find out Justin's market, get every possible team I can find. And that's what I really spent the first day doing. And I couldn't find any. So it shifted a little bit because I realized that I misgauged it. I just made those assumptions. Some of it just, maybe I got sucked into a little bit of the Chicago vibe, which I know, you know, there's so many people who support Justin, and I still think they do. I know that there's people in that Bears building that support him and still think he's a really good quarterback. But I left Indy with an obvious change on that. And I don't necessarily believe it's completely reflective of Justin. I just believe that it's the market right now and the way teams are what teams are willing to do and give up for now in that quarterback space. So I think for Bears fans here, just wanting and hoping to get something in return, I do think that will pan out. I just don't think right now.
I think one interesting scenario, I don't believe it will happen, but say the dominoes fall where you got Mayfield in Tampa, and you got Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, and like Minnesota comes calling for the Bears. Like, do you see any scenario? Like, how believable is this? That the only option that the Bears have in terms of trading Justin Fields is the Minnesota Vikings. Like, could you see that coming to fruition in any capacity?
No, I don't get the feeling that Minnesota is in on Justin Fields. I think they definitely have their options laid out right now, knowing that if they lose Kirk, they're going to have to pivot here. But I think the type of quarterbacks that they would be pivoting towards next would be Baker if he's available, obviously. But more Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett. These are the type of quarterbacks I could see Minnesota going for as a bridge quarterback, not having to give up anything for, while they hopefully, or at least their plans are to get a quarterback in that building in the upcoming draft. That's how I see this going. I don't imagine Minnesota is going to be aggressive in getting that bridge quarterback and then having to give up picks for it.
Yeah, wow, that would put the Bears in an interesting position, though, if that's the only place that they could potentially send him. All right, let's shift gears just a little bit. I want to talk about the running back market a little bit, and there's been a little bit of buzz out there about maybe the Bears having some interest in Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs. What are you hearing on that front, Diana?
Yeah, I think Saquon Barkley has a pretty decent market considering, you know, I think there's been a lot of, especially because I live in the New York area, the headlines are right in front of my face all the time. You know, but it just seemed that New York wasn't going to value him the way he wanted to be, as much as I think Saquon loves being a New York Giant. But in terms of his market, I think there's teams that make a lot of sense for him, and it doesn't take an insider to inform people, but you've got teams like the Ravens that are in the running back market, Houston Texans. And I do think the Chicago Bears, who are obviously in need of a running back, are in on Saquon. It's just a matter of price, right? Of they're going to probably have to spend more money than they would probably like to on a player like Saquon Barkley, where there's those second tier type running backs like DeAndre Swift, perhaps, you know, Tony Pollard, who will cost more in that $6 million range versus 10, that I could see the Bears trying to perhaps pivot themselves if they feel like that Saquon Barkley price tag is a little too high for them. But I do know that they're having conversations with his camp. So that's really good news, I think, for Bears fans, because Saquon obviously is still relatively young. He's a great player, and really, you know, the thing about Saquon is when he is healthy, he obviously is really good, and he's also just a pretty phenomenal locker room guy. They'd be definitely getting a lot in an investment here if they were to do that.
I think if the Bears like bring in a big name, like make that splash, like it kind of signals the next part of this Ryan Poles reconstruction of this roster, where he's now maybe pushing some chips in, maybe not going all the way in, but it's where it's time to go for it, to go for some more wins this year. So that brings me to like Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from Miami, who could be one of the most sought-after free agents, who seems like a perfect fit for that three-technique defensive tackle. What are you hearing about his market?
Yeah, drop the could-be. He is. He is the name I have been hearing from. It almost feels like every team. It's not. But teams that even are set at that position are poking around on it. And, you know, I do believe he is going to be one of those players that comes out of this with a really big price tag, because there is just such a need for a player like him who's still relatively young. You know, you've got teams like the 49ers who are set, right? And they're still poking around on it. You've got the Cleveland Browns, you've got the Minnesota Vikings, you've got the Chicago Bears, all interested in bringing him there. And I do think it's going to be one of those situations where you're right. Getting a big name like him would make a lot of sense, like it would be for Saquon Barkley, who, you know, with the Barkley situation, by the way, just going back to that, you know, if the Bears are going to do what I think most of us believe they're going to do, just based on talking to a lot of people around the league, which is draft Caleb Williams here at that number one spot, what better thing to do than give him a running back like Saquon Barkley, a veteran there to help the ground game, where, you know, you see so like a Christian McCaffrey, right, with Brock Purdy. You see that influence and how that can really help a young quarterback. But with a Christian Wilkins here, just a bolster up, you got to figure, you know, Coach Eberflus is probably pushing hard there to get Wilkins in the building here next week if they're willing to pay. So what's the price tag going to look like? Well, some teams I'm talking to, they're looking to pay around 21, 22 for him. I've got one team who thinks he's going to go for 25. So it seems that he's in that 20 to 25 range. And look, with teams getting more more money this year, $30 million added to the cap to the salary cap, I think maybe that gives some flexibility in a space like now in free agency, where we know teams are willing to maybe overpay or give a little bit more to cushion it up to bring the guy in the building.
Diana, one of my big takeaways from being at the combine last week, and also at the Super Bowl, you know, earlier in February, you mentioned earlier the Chicago dynamic and all this Justin Fields, Caleb Williams conversation, and just like maybe there's parts of Chicago that are overvaluing Justin Fields. I think we now know that compared to the rest of the league. But one of my big takeaways from being at both of those big NFL events is I also feel like the Caleb Williams aspect of this, you talk to people outside of Chicago and it's just like, it seems like it's unanimous. Like, yeah, he's the best quarterback. He's going number one and the Bears are going to take him. Whereas here in Chicago, it's like still this Caleb versus Justin dynamic. But is that what, how is that your feeling too, looking, you know, when you talk to people about Caleb Williams?
Just to be clear, you're telling me there's people in Chicago who are weighing Caleb Williams and Justin Fields as, hey, maybe we should roll with Justin and not draft Caleb Williams?
Yes. A lot. Okay. Like every day, this is what we deal with here in Chicago.
Is it you guys?
No.
Okay. Definitely not us. I really like you guys and you're really good at what you do. And then I was about to hop off the pod. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think that's emotional, right? And Justin's awesome and people like him and the team likes him and fans obviously do, right? But I think when it comes to just getting better and the future of this organization, and I can tell you their goal is not to get to the playoffs. Their goal is to win a Super Bowl. I hear it all the time. When you're talking to people in Chicago, decision makers, they are not in this to try to get some wins here, which I know sounds like a basic, obvious statement, but you'd be surprised around the league that some teams are just looking to improve, get a little bit better, just make the playoffs this year, right? Because they're in a bad position, bad spots, whether it's money or just the roster, the talent. They know they've got years before they can start saying the word Super Bowl. Chicago believes that they have an opportunity to do that over the next few years with the roster and the staff that they have in place. So Caleb Williams, in their mind, based on the information, the interactions, what he can do on film for them, is spurring a lot of excitement around the league and those that are in the building in Chicago knowing he's good. In fact, I would even say their thought of Caleb Williams headed into Indy versus when they left shifted even more positively. So they already went into it knowing that he was obviously on their radar and perhaps maybe some even believing, yes, it's an automatic number one pick here, but leaving even more or have joined that camp of believing he's the guy. So while I know it's probably hard, you know, to let go and move on, why not let go and move on to something that could perhaps be better and great for the city?
You mentioned those interactions. One of those interactions was obviously the official visit with him at the combine, right? And everyone's in there, including Kevin Warren, President Kevin Warren. And I guess I'm just curious what you make of that, like how the league interprets that in a sense, because I wasn't surprised by it, but I think some observers are in a sense. Like, I would be surprised if he wasn't in that meeting. So what do you make of Kevin Warren's active participation, I guess, in those interviews?
In most cases, I would say to you, of course, the team president is in there because it's a collaboration and everybody wants to get their thoughts and their ideas and want to study it. And everyone just wants the experience, knowing that it is such a significant investment and decision that's going to be made for a franchise for the future. But I actually believe in Chicago, Kevin Warren being in there is important, and obviously it makes sense because he is going to have so much power in this decision. Yes, the football side to this, we'll call them, you know, the coaches, player personnel people. Yeah, they're all going to have their presentations and discuss why this guy is the guy. And they're going to make their recommendations. But at the end of the day, I believe Kevin Warren has a tremendous amount of influence on what the Bears are going to do. And it's the belief that they have from ownership down in his ability to do that. So Kevin Warren sitting in there, I think, should be cheered by fans as well, because they're going to lean on Kevin Warren's years of experience, you know, in St. Louis, in Minnesota, to help guide them in this process and help, you know, make sure they're not going to make mistakes and not buy into the wrong things, but perhaps the right. So I don't think it's bizarre. You know, the Commanders had their owner, Josh Harris, sitting in. I've heard of this for years. Every year there's always teams that just go a little bit stronger in who they want in the meetings. I mean, remember Carolina last year? I mean, they had like the owner's cousins there. It was ridiculous in terms of, and I say ridiculous in terms of just the amount of people, but it's not, because this is that important. And you want as many people that are part of this to be there.
And if you're Caleb Williams, I imagine having the team president in there. Like, if you're Caleb Williams, you're trying to figure out if this organization wants to win, as he said, or is headed that direction. There's the boss right there.
What'd you make of that, of that comment? Because I read it and I went, that's an interesting way to respond. But then I watched it and it sounded differently to me. What was your take on that?
I guess my number one takeaway is that he's trying to figure out the best situation for him. And whether or not that means he's got to kind of force a team's hand on things, we'll see. But I think he's trying to feel out the teams. Like, I thought it was important that he also mentioned that the Bears have also like a very good defense. He mentioned their record. He mentioned they're not a typical first overall pick. Like, that stood out to me in context of what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I think overall, Diana, like, this whole idea that he could, you know, force his way somewhere else has been overblown. But I do think from the very start that there's been this sort of sense that, like, hey, sell me too. Like, we understand that's not how the draft works. You don't really have much power or leverage about where you're going or what your contract is, maybe just a little bit. But there is sort of this, like, you know, sell the Caleb Williams camp on your place too. And I think that's all they're asking for. And that's all I took from that comment too.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's smart business, and it seems to be the business side of this is important to him. And it's obviously important to the people around him as he's really conducting himself in a way that we've never seen before in terms of his experiences coming out of college and the stuff he's involved in. The question didn't bother me. It shows to me there's a maturity there, and also a confidence, which I think is should be celebrated for people that are hoping that Caleb Williams goes to Chicago in your city. So, look, I think we're going to continue to find out more information, but every year, this time of year, we come back, and I've done this before. I'll look back at my notes to see what I was talking about. And stuff changes. It does. I don't believe this is going to change, though. There's something about this fit and the way this is headed and the conversations I've had around the league that it just seems like a sure thing that this is the guy the Chicago Bears are targeting.
So, Diana, as we let you go, what does Monday through Wednesday look like for Diana Rossini?
Lots of DMs, week? Right?
A lot of DMs, a lot of phone conversations. It's sometimes it gets this is so rude to admit, but I do it because I have to. I'll be on the phone with someone and, like, let's say this person's awesome and my friend, or not even awesome. Let's say I'm just on the phone with them, but somebody else is calling on a different story that I need to get. But you know, when someone's talking, you can't hop in and be like, hey, I got to take this. Have you been in that position before?
Oh, yeah.
In free agency, I just hang up on the person. Like, I don't even, and then I'll text them later, like, so sorry, I had to drop out of that. And sometimes I even have to send that text later because I don't even have time for that. So it's just busy. I love it, though. I run around my house like a lunatic, and I scream and I yell, I cry. I go through, it's like a roller coaster of emotions. And fortunately for you guys, because I text with you, you'll probably hear a lot of me venting and sharing my emotional journey. So hopefully next week goes well, and hopefully the Chicago Bears get all the guys that they want.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Well, you're the best. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. Make sure you are signed up for Diana's Scoop City newsletter, and you are following her on Twitter at DM Rossini. You're going to need to these next few days and weeks as we go through all this. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks, guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time, but that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion. And it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, Johnsy, well, a lot of outstanding information there from Diana Rossini, and the reality right now that Justin Fields is going to maybe have to wait a little bit here, and the Bears are going to have to be patient. Now, that could still mean like Wednesday of next week or, you know, a little bit later on in the week. I guess the part that I all of a sudden I'm going to flip here into a strong Justin Fields defender now. This idea that he's going to have to go somewhere to be a backup, that's a little extreme to me. Like, I understand, like, we've been sitting here and we've been pointing out his flaws and why Caleb Williams is the better option, and all that can be true. And at the same time, the dude is a starter in the NFL to me. And there's so many quarterback needy teams out there. And by week five, there's going to be five teams that regret not going after Justin Fields because they're already down to their bad backup. That's just wild to me.
It does feel kind of just crazy given what we've seen. And I know we're critics of him at this point. I think the Justin Fields camp can't see us in any other capacity at this point, but I'm just still trying to think, like, which teams are those, though? Like, other teams, yeah. Like, look at the Colts, and obviously they have questions about where they're going at quarterback, but they just drafted, like, Anthony Richardson last year. And if it's, like, the Vikings, they brought up the Vikings, what if they, like, it seems crazy to me that Sam Darnold will find a home before Justin Fields. That's crazy. It's crazy talk, but it's
potential reality. Yeah, that's where, and I know Diana's just reporting what she's hearing. It's not her fault, but when she said that, I'm like, come on. Sam Darnold.
But she called him a bridge quarterback to,
I know,
a draft pick. When you're looking at five guys, maybe six in the first two rounds that appeal to teams.
So that's an important part of this, because that's what I'm sensing, that there's not really a team out there that feels like Justin's going to get better. That he is what he is. That there's not this scenario where he's going to come somewhere else and just blossom. You're going to pick up that fifth-year option. It's going to feel like a deal. And then you're going to sign him to a long-term contract. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen either, but, dude, he's cheap in 2024. I don't know. That's a little crazy to me. What about Tampa, though? What if Tampa doesn't keep Baker? What if Kirk goes to Atlanta and Diana said the Vikings go after Baker? And all of a sudden, he's not in Tampa. I mean,
I'm sure that's a scenario. A couple dominoes have you that the Bears would love to see play out. Because then I think you have a realistic trade partner who will be willing to give you maybe some significant draft capital. But I'm just thinking if that domino does not fall, like the draft capital, the return for Justin Fields, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Third, fourth round, you know, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know, even if it exists.
I know. Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there a world in which this ends with the Bears just having to release him? And does that create the wild scenario that has sometimes come up that I don't think any of us believe would be tenable, where they at that point just say, keep him on the roster? I don't think that would be doing right by Justin, which the general manager has said he wants to do. And I think it puts Caleb in a bad spot too.
Yeah, I
so
think
I
if
don't
you're,
think
if,
they
if
would
if you're
do
moving
that.
On, you're moving on.
Yeah.
Make it a clean break. I don't think it's similar to what happened with the end of the Mitch Trubisky era where Nick Foles was brought in and it was just a crowded room to begin with probably way too many voices, talking about too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, it was just not tenable. But there's some level of that. If you're moving on, if you're drafting a quarterback with the first overall pick, like, move on. And that implies to everybody in the building, right? You don't want guys in the locker room standing by the old guy when you're trying to develop the new guy. You just got to move on completely. It's a clean break if you're making that move for Caleb Williams.
Plus, if you're Caleb and Caleb's camp, we just got done talking about this with Diana, like, whatever leverage they do have, I would imagine that's not something they're interested in. You're drafting me. No. I mean, let's get Justin out of here. Let's start this thing over. I can't imagine that's a situation they would want either. Now, on the Caleb side of this, I mean, to hear Diana outright laugh at the notion that there's even like this Kayla versus Justin conversation. Like I obviously there's people listening to this podcast, the Justin Fields fans that are probably offended by that. But I'm telling you, those are the types of conversations that we have had, that I had at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. When you start talking to your national media friends or just reporters from other markets. Last week in Indy, had a conversation with Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, and he did the same exact thing. He's like, I don't even understand why this conversation. This is the dumbest conversation of all time. You draft Caleb Williams 10 out of 10 times. And that's just the view of all this outside of Chicago. It just is. So this brings me to something I said on CHGO yesterday, John, that I wanted to get your reaction to, because you're a hockey guy at heart still a little bit. And my point was, this should be like when the Blackhawks got the number one pick and had access to Connor Bedard. And I think in other NFL markets, that's what this would be. It would be Caleb Williams mania all the way up to draft night. Fans buying the jerseys already. Incredibly excited. And that's what this should be. That's how good of a prospect Caleb Williams is. You go look anywhere right now. Anybody's draft boards, anybody's mock drafts. He's number one. It is as close to unanimous as it can possibly be, except for some random outliers out there.
Nate Tice. Almost,
yeah, Nate Tice. Nate Tice actually does a really good job defending it, though, and he doesn't bring Caleb Williams down as he does. He just likes Drake May, which is fine. And it's just really weird that it's not that situation here, because it should be.
I guess my biggest concern, and I don't want to, like, I don't think Twitter or social media embodies Bears fandom in its entirety. I think there are hard stats that show you that it doesn't. It's not even close to that, right? But there is a segment of Bears fandom, and it's hard to ignore because it just shows up in your feed, right? It just, and you have to purposely, like, go out of your way to ignore it, but they're going out of their way to criticize Caleb Williams when there are no bases for it. You know what I'm talking like? Talking
about? Yeah, 100%.
Like I can just shoot down. They're almost making stuff up.
Maybe we do it. Maybe after Justin gets traded, we do that podcast where we just take every little criticism that people are trying to bring up and we shoot it down, because I can do it. I mean, we've done the homework.
Some of it almost feels like character assassination at this point. And I get it. There's questions about it. Just, I know they exist because there hasn't been a prospect like Caleb Williams before coming at this time in college football, where college football is so different. There's questions that have to be asked. There's things that have to be felt out. I understand all that. But some of the criticism feels like unfair character assassination at this point, where there's some things being brought up that aren't even like even remotely true to what's happening or who Caleb Williams really is. It's fascinating to me.
And I don't think it would be happening if there wasn't this like devotion towards defending Justin Fields. I just think it would be a celebration. The Bears have access to the most talented quarterback prospect that they've ever had access to with the number one pick. And it was an unbelievable trade made by Ryan Poles to get this organization in the position that they are now in. And by the way, I think that's how they view it inside the building. And that's why we're in this situation where we're telling you all the time that this is the road that's they're going down.
This pivot was put in place for good reason. If Justin Fields doesn't take the next steps of his career, you have this pivot, this option to find your next quarterback. For Ryan Poles to draft his quarterback, right? Like, this would be his quarterback. He did not draft Justin Fields. I think it really just sometimes could be simplified like that.
Yeah, 100%. And sometimes that's wrong. But I think in this case, makes sense. Like, if you are just giving up on Justin to, like, go draft Michael Penix because...
But they're not.
But they're not. That's the point.
they have 28 starts. Yes. Yeah, 28 starts, too, also to fully evaluate. Practice is two. All right? I don't know. There's a lot here. There's a lot more information that the Bears have than we do just in terms of what the tape tells us.
Well, and the latest information that is honestly even surprising to us is what the rest of the NFL is saying about Justin Fields right now, which I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, if the rest of the NFL is saying he's a backup quarterback, I do not agree with that at all. So I will defend him on that one.
Yeah, I was talking to an executive in Indianapolis. We put this in a report, our Bears Buzz report on Monday, and he said there was this expectation. He wasn't high on Justin Fields in the first place, but there was this expectation that there would be some development in his third year. Like, you'd be able to see that on film, but also statistically, you would see it. Like a jump. It didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I know there were some individual improvements, but you also have to see where he ranks amongst his peers. It just didn't happen for whatever reasons. You can blame whatever you want. And I'm sure the Justin Fields fan club will, but I don't know. It's something to watch. It really is, yeah. As these dominoes start to fall.
Well, I took a lot of heat when I came out at the end of the season and said that my grade showed he actually slightly regressed. And I even said that I didn't necessarily agree with my own grades on that in certain areas. But it still showed that there wasn't the jump that everybody, including the Bears, were open for. And I think that's probably why you're seeing this resistance from other NFL teams that are not willing to go in a bidding war for him right now. And that's it's put the Bears in a tough spot, because I know, look, Ryan Poles said publicly he'd like all this resolved ASAP. And right now, I still think it will be in the next week or so, but it's a tough position for everyone involved.
All it takes is one team to feel desperate for whatever reason. They find out they're out on veteran quarterbacks. Then they find out they're out on Sam Darnold.
Well, whatever happens, we'll have it all covered for you next week. It should be a busy week, as it always is during free agency, and we'll be there for you. A couple episodes next week, of course, recapping whatever the Bears do in free agency if a Justin Fields trade happens. Jalen Johnson talking to the media on Monday, too, after signing his long-term agreement. So all types of coverage coming your way next week. And, of course, in The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. You can find me at allchgo.com. And, of course, every day on CHGO Bears, streaming live every day at noon, and of course available as a podcast. Follow us at Hogan Johns on Twitter, at Adam Hoke, at Adam Johns as well. And the merch, great time to be buying those golf polos. Weather's starting to get a little bit nicer. Golf season is here. It's all for you, HoganJohns.com. Thank you to Diana Rossini for jumping on the show today. She's been doing an awesome job reporting on all of this, and you should definitely be following her next week and check out the Scoop City newsletter as well. We are out of here. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Nothing's off the table. Nothing is on the table right now.
Hey, football fans. This is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.